Welcome to Impact, exposing the issues, investigating the facts with guests and commentary on the issues that affect you and your search for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now, Impact.
Okay, we're back after that little break. We were talking about the Wasatch County meeting, swimming pool, and that sort of stuff. It's KTMP 1340, the Impact Program. Happy to have my co-host Paul back. Turn on Paul's microphone. He's talking there now.
I wasn't talking, but I will.
Well, you can talk.
But I'll be quiet.
You're allowed
time.
To talk now.
No, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be quiet, though.
And we have some representatives from the school board with us now. We're happy to have them with us. It's been quite a while since we've had you with us. Always good to have you, get the inside information of what's going on. We have with us Vicki Gapmeier. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning.
Try that again. Let me see if it's working.
Good morning.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Terry Shoemaker, the district superintendent.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Vicki Gapmeier is going to be retiring here pretty soon, I understand.
June 30th.
And you are the...
You've got that down? Do you have the hours down, too?
No, I haven't got the hours down.
Oh, okay.
But you're ready, though, right?
So I better be, haven't I?
Well, good. And Blake Baird, member of the school board's with us. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning. Thank you. And I do want to say we are so appreciative of Vicki Gapmeier's service in our district for 28 years in the education system. And she's done a wonderful job. So I just want to thank her publicly.
Well, she used to be the principal of the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And before that, I was the counselor for Rob's son.
I remember you very well as a counselor when my kids were in high school. We had some good talks and did a very nice job. Quite happy with it. Yeah. Okay. What I was hoping we could talk about today, I sent out a letter to the school board. That's the wrong one. No, that is it. Yeah. That about the change in the FERPA policy that you did April 19th. And I asked a bunch of questions of what happened. And I was hoping that we could possibly base the discussion on what the questions, because I assume you all have it now. There was something that happened with the email that I originally sent out that none of the people with a Wasatch EDU address got. Nobody seems to be able to figure out what happened to it. But then I sent out another one, and I got a nice response from three or four of you. But I didn't get the answer, so it's very good that we can get here. So let's just start out with that, if we could. And you know, the first thing I was going to say, was there a requirement for you to change the law at this time by anybody, whoever wants to start with that basic question?
Let me just talk a little bit, Bob, about we review our policies periodically. Ever since I've been on the school board, we have reviewed all kinds of policies. Ms. Gapmeier, along with a committee of administrators, look at policies on a continual basis to revise, to update. Sometimes we retire them. And that was the case in this particular incident. The FERPA policy came up for review, and the committee reviewed it and made some recommendations, and that's where we got to this point on the FERPA policy.
Okay, so there's no connections with Common Core, with the rule changes that were made last year at the Department of Education, or any of that type of stuff?
They were not the motivation behind these revisions that have been made. Blake has explained exactly what motivated us, and that is it was a policy done in 2000. We knew there had been some changes done with FERPA. We have this committee reviewing those things. They came back and looked at it, made the adjustments that we've made, and that's where we are today.
Okay.
In other words, we didn't consider that at all in the beginning. It was simply part of this revision process.
Okay, and the State Office of Education did not send out a dictate that thou shalt change this, and this is what you should say.
I personally have never received such a dictate.
Okay. All right. All right, then the question that comes up of where did the wording come for the changes that were made?
I think I will address that. The wording, I get a nice pamphlet. I don't know if you've ever read this statute on the FERPA policy. I get a book like this that tells me about the requirements. And then I get a 101 book, you know. FERPA 101 is a good way to describe that. That gives me just a basic outline of what's in there. And so we looked at that basic outline and saw what we thought was missing from our policy. And as you look at the changes we've made, they're very minimal. And the others have been in there for a long time. And the changes we made were very minimal, mainly because we want a minimal policy. We're not into that. There are many FERPA policies out there statewide. Some of them are longer than ours. Some of them are shorter. We just wanted a nice, basic, minimal policy, which we are required by Utah State.
To have a FERPA policy.
To have a FERPA policy. Yeah. We're required under state code.
Of course, yeah. Now, in the booklet that you're referring to, is that's an update, and that's pointing out what we had changed last year. And this comes from whom? Whom is the booklet
from? It comes from the
Department of Education.
Yes.
Yeah. And they made a rule change last year.
Do you know, I haven't seen the rule change last year, to be honest with you. My FERPA 101 is not reflecting that change yet.
Oh, really?
Really.
Oh, okay. So then the terminology, and I believe what you did was add line 9, and that was the basic change
that
for
that was really and truly the basic change.
Okay. And what is the purpose of line 9, and who wrote it?
It comes directly out of, out of the guidelines. And we wrote it because we thought these are things that we're doing, and we thought we ought to put them in our policy. Obviously, the law says that you can do these things, and we do. We are an accredited school. I've been on the state accreditation committee for the last 12 years, I want to say, maybe a little longer than that. And we go around and we help with the Northwest accreditation process for high schools. And so part of that accrediting process, we look at data. We look to see if this is a performing school, if these kids in this school are learning. And we look to see if they know who's learning, who's not, and what are they doing to make sure that everybody's learning. Now, obviously, that data that we get as an accrediting team is aggregated data. It is not individualized data.
Okay,
it is aggregate data.
Okay. And the aggregate data means the third grade in this school did this, or maybe even it's broader than that, but it's not personally identifiable information.
Not personally identifiable information.
Continue on.
And so that is why we did put that one in there, is so that we do that. That is data that we do use.
Okay, now.
And we do that self-study at the high school when we do our accrediting.
Okay.
But it is aggregated data.
Okay, now the change that is put in here, from my understanding, is an exception of when you have to get parent or student approval to release the information.
That is correct.
Okay, so you added number 9. So that you could give private information to an accredited organization. Is that fundamentally what we're talking about?
Testing data, but it is not student identifiable. We don't give student identify. I think that's one of the misconceptions out here, Bob. If I can discuss that.
Oh, good. No, that's what we're trying to do, is clarify.
That
is
the misconception here. The FERPA policy in and of itself deals with data. It's not all individualized data. It's data. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger globe. Most of these that get released to organizations or all of those is never individualized identifiable data. But the law itself governs all of it. This law is really strong in protecting student data. So not only does it want to protect individualized data, it wants to govern what happens to aggregate data as well.
Okay, so your intention in what you have written here was aggregate data and not personal
not
data.
Not personally identifiable data.
Even though up at the top it says that this is an exception, let me just read it here to make it clear. It is the policy of Wasatch County School District that personally identifiable information will not be released from an education record without the prior written consent of a parent or eligible student, except under one or more of the following conditions. So this whole document here is about exceptions of when you can release personally identifiable information, or am I misreading it?
So, you can release personally identifying information, But mostly that personally identifying information is collected together. I mean, you know, behind every aggregate data is personal identification. Mm-hmm. And that's the connection with the personal identifying.
Okay, connection. But aggregate data cannot be identified to a person.
Right.
So the policy we have here says, if I am understanding this correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, personally identifiable information will not be released from an education record without prior consent of the parent, except under health and safety emergencies.
Right.
I mean, which is logical.
Which is logical.
I mean, if somebody calls up and something happened to my kid, I can say, yes, this is the kid, here's the problem the kid has.
Right.
So that's an exception that you don't have to get the parent's approval.
That's correct.
And then it goes down to schools that the student intends to go to. They want to go up to Park City. You can release their records to Park City School.
Right.
But only, you can do that without the parental permission.
We can't. We don't. I'm going to tell you that. We don't, but we can't.
But the policy says that you can.
Right.
So then when we get down to the bottom thing that was added, you're now saying that under the following conditions, it is allowed to be reported or disclosed pursuant to state statute with additional protections for further disclosure.
That's right. And that additional protections for further disclosure is what throws it into the aggregate data.
Okay, where is that written? Where is that protection written into the policy then?
So right there, with additional protections.
But what is the additional protection?
That throws it into the aggregate data.
But it doesn't say that. It says personally identifiable information is allowed to be reported and disclosed pursuant to state statute.
With additional protections. And I guess, you know, you could look at it, and if we wanted to put in our self-study, this policy would allow us to list all of the seniors' ACT scores.
My
we
name.
Don't do that. But that's I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I don't want to do that. But with those additional protections, we would throw those together and give you an average.
Okay, but I guess this is the
question.
But
behind that is individualized data.
I guess this is the question of what comes. And let me go over to Terry and ask him this. The meeting of April... Well, I guess it was a meeting in May, or it was a February meeting where the three moms, as we're calling them, who were talking about Common Core, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, they came to the school board meeting and were talking about FERPA policy. Is that correct, Blake? Do you remember that?
I remember they were, I think the discussion mainly was Common Core, but then they did bring up towards the end the FERPA policy.
Yeah.
But the main discussion was Common Core.
It was Common Core.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And they suggested at that time that they didn't want to see a change of the FERPA policy. Is that...
I think they discussed, if I remember right, that Davis had changed their FERPA policy and that they would like to see that we didn't do any change in FERPA policy. I think I remember that was what they did say.
Yeah, they indicated they were would not like to see any changes made there. That's
yeah, correct. Okay. I mean, that was just their feeling.
That was their feeling. It was part of their presentation.
Yeah, sure, yeah. That's fine. Okay, and then 2 months later, April 19th, I guess it was 2 months, whatever it was, that's when the FERPA policy was brought up because you were reviewing the policy and you wrote this information up to do it. And I understand they were there at that meeting. And I I'm only relaying what I'm hearing in reports.
They were there.
Yeah. And did they comment on it, or what was commented in that meeting? How did the presentation go, if I could ask it that way?
Well, Vicki did the presentation. She can respond to how that went.
Okay.
Because the changes were so minimal, and they are, they really don't change how we do business at all, that I presented it to the board, and the board just passed it.
Okay.
It's been the policy of the board, even previous to when I've been on the board, that any policy that has to do with keeping within state or federal statute that, and it's been reviewed by our legal counsel, that we normally approve that without any discussion, and so we did. We approved that. Since that time, we've had some people
question
share concerns about it, and why didn't you give a 30-day comment period, and the next board meeting. We did allow for a 30-day comment period, which we're in right now, and probably moving forward, as we've discussed as a board, we'll probably allow that going on. Always have a 30-day comment period, whether it's meeting federal or state statute or not.
Okay, explain to me, if you would, Blake, how this it was necessary to add this to it to comply with federal or state standards, statutes.
Well, you know, and I'll probably let Vicki
okay.
discuss that Vicki. Too, but my understanding is that we, obviously the state has required us to have a FERBA policy, which we do have, but it still has to fall within the guidelines of the federal, well, but within the guidelines of the FERBA policy.
Okay, and if you hadn't, well, I can ask Vicki or whomever, but if you had not added number 9, would you still been in compliance with federal and state policy?
We would have had a less than updated policy. We brought this policy back to the board because we felt a need to because it was written in 2000, the earlier policy.
Okay.
And so it was 12 years old. So it was our feeling as an administration that we needed to have a policy that reflected I wouldn't say these were big changes, they're minor. They're actually additional protections. And that's the misunderstanding here. These are additional protections and additional exceptions with additional protections. We wanted to make sure they're reflected in our policy.
Let me ask you a question here, though, related to that. Vicki, when you were talking about this, you used the word most in most cases. Is there ever a time that we would be releasing personal information about students and collecting it in such a way that someone else could come in 2 or 3 years from now or 10 years and look up personal information regarding the students that attended Wasatch High or Wasatch School District in any way?
Personal identifying information. Yes, there is. We do keep those records. We've got 100 years worth of records over at the high school that tells you who has graduated from high school in the last 100 years. We're required to keep that data. They have grades on them and ACT scores.
If I was the federal government and said that Blake over here made an application to work for the FBI, under the FERPA policy, would you be able to release Blake's information to me?
Yes, I would.
Now, the other question I have then, who keeps track to make sure these things are correct? Because all records have a tendency over time when people are adding to and taking away and doing that to come up with some errors. We find it in credit reports. I find it every day in credit reports. I read those every day and I find tons of errors that creep up into those things. So who in the school district would make sure that the information that you gave to the FBI about Blake over here actually contained the information that was truthful, factual, and not that somebody had added something in there that couldn't be?
The data that we keep long-term is minimal data. I mean, we don't keep behavior records. We don't keep attendance records. All we have is, these are the classes he took, these are the grades he got, this is his ACT score.
But doesn't teachers and administrators and others make, I know on my report card, there used to be a bottom part there that said they could make comments.
You used to have a lot of them.
No. They
used to have a lot of my report card, didn't you, Paul?
Yeah. They used to put pages after pages.
We've been requesting those records for you.
Yeah, I believe it.
Just so you know, we've been looking for those, Paul.
It would be a book. Anyway, under that, it's
really
a comment or something.
After the report card, in this day and age, I guess you could go back on those handwritten report cards that we've got from 100 years ago and make comments if somebody was inclined to sneak in there and get under lock and, they're locked.
Do you see where I'm going, though?
But,
because things come out years later for people and it interrupts their life. And in some cases, I know of a situation that occurred in this county just a little bit, a year and a half ago, where a person made an application to work for one of our tax-supported institutions. And he was from this area. Now, where the information came from, I don't know. I'm not even going to suggest where it came from. But something appeared. He didn't even know it was there, and it was so minor that he had forgotten about it for years and years and years ago, and it popped up. Did he get the job? No, they used that against him. And so my question, see where I'm coming from?
I can see where you're coming
from. From the years, people could really suffer through this.
And that's the reason
That's the reason for this law.
For FERPA exists at the federal level, and that's the reason other types of laws exist for other types of protected record, as you're talking about an employment record there. So what we are trying to do, I know that's how you feel, but that particular law, its primary purpose is protecting the rights and privacy of parents and students. And we take that very seriously. So part of the answer to your question would be, you know, we have someone responsible. That's Vicky in this particular case. All right, we're going to have somebody responsible for that. I'm still working on who that's going to be. All right. And their job is to assure that these records are very, very carefully protected. We take it very seriously. We always have. We always will. The federal government revises things as they may do. But again, let's not forget what the intent of the law was in the first place, and that was protecting the rights and privacy of individuals. And we take that very, very seriously.
Okay, let me ask you this question, then, if I could. How does adding number 9, as it's written right today, further protect the students' and parents' rights of privacy?
Adding number 9, all it's saying is we may, but I assure you that we don't intend to without making sure we've looked at this very carefully and what the intentions are. And exactly, you have to have a written agreement if you're going to go down that road. And that agreement has to be very, very specific. That's all in the FERPA guidelines. We could have written out every one of those things and taken 70 pages of trying to put that together. But my point with this is these things here are saying that records can go to these individuals under FERPA, but we're going to do everything we possibly can to protect individual student rights, and we will do that. In other words, when it gets that right down to an individual, we are very, very, very careful about how we handle those kinds of things.
I understand.
In the aggregate is a whole different story. And most often, as Vicky has said, and you're pressing me here, Bob, to try and say, well, this policy says these are all the exceptions.
Oh.
Yeah, it says these are an exception. I'm trying to reassure you and everybody listening here that these exceptions are written in here because they're allowable under FERPA, and whether we put them in here or not, they could still be there. They're still allowable. That's the point. We're actually telling people what's really allowable. But the fact of the matter is, practically speaking, we don't do that. We're very, very, very careful about those things.
Okay, then why can't you just write that into the policy? Why can't you just write in the policy that Wasatch County School District will not give personal private information to accredited organizations, and so forth, other than as aggregate studies? Why can't you just write that in the policy? Would you be allowed to do that?
Well, if you're suggesting that, we have a school board member here listening. He might consider that as something that could be considered to be part of it.
No, I'm asking you, would you be allowed to that under the FERPA policy?
Allowed? We would, you know, I don't know. Let me just say it this way, because state law trumps our policy.
Okay.
So we could have the policy that said, and if someone showed up under this, that they may have it with a bona fide educational purpose, and a documented authorization for student records, even if our policy said we will not, we would be bound by state statute and federal statute to give them to them.
Okay, is there such a state statute now?
Yes.
And what is it?
Are you
talking about SB 290 that was passed just this last year that says you can't release the information?
Well, but it also says you're bound by FERPA,
federal
FERPA regulation. You forgot that part, Bob.
Yeah, but it also, yeah, okay. But the thing is,
if you're bound by
the FERPA regulations, and I believe that all three of you has mentioned that you have not read the change that was done last year.
She said that. I've read the changes.
Okay, you've read it. And your understanding, what does that say?
Well, again, it's a fairly extensive thing. Again, it refers to authorized representatives, having it more clarified what that means. It refers to the need to possibly provide information to those who have a need to know because of an educational purpose. So, you're talking about a very long regulation, okay? But it goes into those kinds of things,
and it also
and defines says, it more carefully.
And also said, if I'm not correct, I'm sure you'll correct me. It also says that the local school districts, LEAs, I guess what they're calling local education associations, are allowed to do this. It doesn't say they're required to do this. Is that correct?
It does say that.
Yeah.
That they are allowed to do it.
I agree with your interpretation.
So in other words, you do not have to put this in here.
what I'm saying to you is we have selected to put it in.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. But it's out for 30 days.
And it's out now for review. Yeah. The board is taking comment.
But the current status of it is that this is your policy as it stands right here.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah. That is correct.
And the board may or may not change it whenever they get around to.
Based on, we'll review the comments that have been given to us, and then we'll make a decision on whether we want to.
Excuse me, when is the meeting going to be, when you're going to do it? You aren't going to do it on the meeting next week,
are you? We'll discuss it at the Thursday board meeting, a week from today.
And the Thursday board meeting is basically a public hearing on budget, isn't it?
And other action
items. I haven't seen the rest of the agenda. I just noticed you put out a special notice that said you...
That'll be out shortly, but there are other action items.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me ask Blake a question, though. The school district, as you look at the FERPA policy, as a school board member, I would hope that you look at one of the concerns I have, not because I have it, but I think a lot of people do, and that is the same type of concern people have with their bank on their credit cards. Remember the statement goes, we will not release any information except to our affiliates, but if you think about it, you have no contractual arrangements with affiliates, and I would like the school district to think about that for a moment. That yes, you can follow your FERPA policy and you can release information for specific causes. But once it leaves your hands, it's gone. And as you well know, most universities and colleges and others who want to do projects talking about education, the first thing they want to do is brag about what they've done. And the first place they go is to the internet and they put out page after page after page of this stuff. And you have no control over that. Is there a better way that you can control, and would the district consider discussing a better way to control the information that you now have of every student, realizing that once it leaves your hands, you've lost control?
Well, of course we would look at anything that would help protect. If there's a better way, we would discuss it and look at it and implement it.
Is it possible that just the aggregate that we talk about with FERPA is the way to go? In other words, to change some of that wording and just says, the only information you get from us is the aggregate, and unless you're a bona fide health care provider or law enforcement or something, the rest of that you don't get a chance.
It's certainly something we could look at and can discuss, of course.
One other question I had for you, too. It seems to me that the board, and I don't want you to take it in the way I'm going to present it to you, but it seems to me that the board could do a better job with your public relations in getting information out to the public, and that you should be holding a few more hearings on the things that you're doing. Now, you've already talked about it, but you know where I'm going with this. The agendas for the Board of Education are terrible agendas, and I know you're telling me that you're working on it. But you know, when the public is out there, you can't expect the public to know all of this, and to have on hand all of this stuff that keeps coming out, because you are one tax-supported institution out of about seven that are in this valley.
Mm-hmm.
Could the Board of Education and the school district generally do a better job of getting information out to the public? And then that brings me to my last. Where is the budget that I can look at that you're going to hold a public hearing on next Thursday?
I think... Can you improve on aspects of getting more information out to the public? I think that could be improved. A lot of things can be improved, and we don't stop in any aspect of education and not in trying to improve. Do I think we still do a good job? I do. I think we put things out in the wave. We haven't been on the radio station a lot, but I do think we put information out. When questions came up about Common Core, we put out a very good article in the Wave that I think that addressed a lot of those issues
of Common Core. I'm more tuned to your agendas.
But the agendas, could we have it a little more specific and maybe put a few more lines in it? Sure, we probably could, and we can look at that and do that. As far as the budget, it's being worked on. It'll be out as soon as possible. I can't give you an exact date, but in time
but
for
how
people.
How can you hold a public hearing on something the public may not have a chance to?
They'll have a chance to look at it at our website, and before the budget hearing, I'm confident that it'll be out in. Well, you're laughing, Bob.
I am, Blake, because you put out a public notice that said that the budget is available at the school district office and it is available on the website. You put that out on the 4th of June. That's what your notice said. I went over to the school board offices yesterday, and I said, can I have a copy of the budget? A what? They didn't know down at the office at the floor. She went out and asked somebody else.
Right.
They said, I'm sorry, we don't have a copy of it. So I went upstairs, and I said, can I have a copy of the budget? Oh, Keith has the budget, and he's not here yet. Jill was very nice and called me half an hour later at home and said, well, Keith is not feeling well, and he won't be in, and you aren't going to be able to have the budget until at least Friday. And I'm saying that's not really a great deal of time to look through a $40 million budget or whatever the number comes up to be by next Thursday night. I mean, it's a fairly complicated thing to review a budget, and I think the citizens really have a right to do that.
Well, I agree with you, and we'll have that available as soon as it's prepared and ready.
Yeah.
And next year, hopefully we'll have it a little earlier, but it's not available right now. We'll have it available as soon as possible.
Okay.
That's what I can tell you.
Okay.
While you're looking at, let me ask another question with all three of you here. I am just a little confused, and that's probably not hard to do. But we have talked about how much our high school costs us. And then I look on the website, and I realize that we are still shelling out money to different contractors and others through the high school account. Can you explain that to me? What is that, an accounting error? Is that accounting procedure? What's going on?
You've got to be more
specific.
I thought
we had a figure for the high school, but we're also seeing other checks being written over a period of time going to other vendors and other things, but it's coming out of the high school account, construction account.
I would say you'd have to be more specific, but there's always ongoing expenses to...
And ongoing maintenance.
Maintenance for high schools.
If I could clarify a little bit on a question or add to it, in Transparent Utah, you have a category called high school construction.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what it means. I just looked at that for the last year that it's on there. It comes to $1.78 million. I assume a lot of that is probably the football stadium. I'm guessing $883,000 to Bud Mahas or something.
Yeah, Bud Mahas.
Bud Mahas, and that was
the contractor for
high school stadium.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And then there's a whole bunch of other things in there. It just says high school construction. I mean, I don't know what it's for, whether it's still for the old high school. And then I look on the website where you have the updated cost of the Wasatch High School, and I lost it here. But anywhere, someplace on there, you got a figure of 69 whatever it is, million, and you say this will be updated because we're supposed to get some money back from late construction or something like that. That's been up there for 2 years. It's never been updated.
Don't know exactly the answer to that.
Okay.
So, again, Keith manages that. Can't answer that.
Well, I'll just
right
ask,
now.
I'll just ask you the question.
And the answer to the question might be, if he said there's some money come back, if he hasn't put it on the website, he hasn't put it on the website. If it's come back, it'll be less than. Okay? At least as it relates to that construction, that initial construction of that facility.
But Paul started talking about more communications with the public. And
we're always open to trying to improve.
You're asking the question. We're giving you the answer.
Understood.
When we get a question, we try to respond.
And let me ask you another question. As a board member, Blake, is it possible for you to approve the release of the packet of information that you get as a board member prior to the Board of Education meeting? I assume you get one, right? Packet of information explaining what the agenda is?
Yes.
Is there any reason that can't be placed on the school website?
Well, it depends on the information, if it's personal or not. For example, Terry and Vicki can help me with this, but if it's personal information on hires and fires and things like that, but as far as more information on action items and consent items, can we be a little bit more, have two or three lines like Paul asked me? We probably could improve. We tried to improve. We think we have improved
from a
year and a half ago.
I want you to squirm there.
I'm not screwing. You'd like more.
A little more that when you look at the agenda of all of our tax-supported institutions, that as a citizen I can say, hey, you're going to discuss X, Y, and Z.
Doesn't the obligation go both ways, Paul?
Beg your pardon?
Doesn't the obligation go both ways? In other words,
you bet.
I appreciate the fact that both of you are asking questions today about those items. We want to clarify that. That's what Blake's trying to say here. It goes both ways. We need to maybe put some more information out there. That's what we'll work on. But also others need to ask us questions. So some of the questions that have been asked here today have been only been asked here today. We'll try to provide that information when we receive it. I'm sorry, I interrupted
you.
No,
that's okay.
Okay, so is there any objection or any reason that you can see other than personal and private information in an agenda in the packets at the Board of Education that could be placed on the website? I mean, is there any reason not to do it? That's my question. Obviously, you take out things that cannot be shared with the public, but everything else, why not just put it out there? Then when the agenda came out with FERPA policy written in there, everybody would see a copy of what the FERPA policy is. Why is there anything wrong with doing that?
You know, we can certainly discuss that, Bob, and see what time constraints it might take for our staff, and if it's something that's something we could do that's not too time constraining for our staff, then, you know, we'll discuss it. We'll talk about it.
The policy review is one that we are doing. In other words, that's why we put it out for 30 days. Okay, so that you do see it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's an example of what we're talking about here. Some of these are contract agreements that, frankly, they have to be approved in the board meeting. They can't be enacted on until that's been done. We want people to come to the meeting too. So we want to work on making that as transparent as possible. But the fact of the matter is, when you put the agenda out there, we would like to have that be as transparent as we possibly can be. We can do some different things there.
And we've mentioned it before. We would love to have the public come to our meetings.
Okay. What I'm suggesting is, if you put out more information about what's going on at the meeting, you might have more people attend because they're more fully informed. Now, Heber City Corporation has been kind enough, through a grammar request that we had to put in, that they are sending us the packet of information of what they're going to discuss. Do we need to put in a grammar request to you to get this information?
Depends on the information.
Are we going to have to put in a grammar request?
You may need to put a grammar request in.
And why would we have to put in a grammar request?
I said it depends on the information.
Okay, can I just request of you personally, you three, to Vicky's out because she's retiring, of you two, that you would send us an email copy of whatever the board gets, extracting whatever you can't send us?
The answer to that would be, I don't know, and here's why. First of all, what we are doing is at the behest of the whole board. We have a single board member sitting here.
Right.
So
I can't make a commitment.
I can't say that that's what they would want to have done. First of all, they'll hear about, obviously, this request.
Okay.
And so in that sense, they'll obviously consider it.
And I think I've made that clear, that the request that you guys are asking, we certainly will consider it. We'll discuss it. And then we'll make a decision.
But we do have to put a grammar request in to have it done.
Depending on the information that you're
okay, so you'll let me know whether I need to put in a grammar request to get that.
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Let me just say this, though, Bob. You know, our role here, we get a lot of people talking about a lot of things, but we get quoted when we don't even have the program on. It's an amazing thing. I hear people going, "Last Friday when you talked about this," and I'm going, "We have never held a Friday get together for 7 years." But here's my thing. I believe that. And I would hope that the board would take care of this and find ways to get more information out. You have a group of people, not just a group, but a large segment of our population who feel like that the process, not just the process with this board, the process with most tax-supported institutions, is that citizens are looked upon as the problem, not the solution. And so we don't get a lot of information out, and so citizens lose their desire to come and attend because they don't know what it is that they're coming to attend. When you see an agenda item that's like 0.0697.33, that doesn't mean squat to the average person. And so if we can get out, and it's going to take some time, and I appreciate, Terry, what you're saying, we have to get out more information with the idea in mind that hopefully that the citizens who have given up attending not just the board meeting but county council meetings and city meetings and all the rest will start to come over and say, hey, this is now, I can go to this meeting and I know what they're going to talk about, and I do have an issue with X, Y, and Z, and they're not caught off guard in the meeting of saying, gosh, I didn't even have a chance to think about that. And so that is just like your FERPA policy. If I'd have been at the meeting of the FERPA policy, I'd have felt like I'd have been cut off at the pass.
Sure.
The fact that you're going to hold a 30-day now gives me an opportunity to respond. Let me ask Vicky this in our closing few minutes too. Do you have an idea of how many people have responded to the 30-day policy?
Nine
people is all?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we can't find fault with that. You've done what you were going to do, and if there's only nine people that are interested, then so be the rest.
Well, and I just want to, as we're coming to a close, I think the majority of the people in this valley are very pleased with the way the district is run and the education that's being provided for our students. And it is. It's a great, we have a great district. We have great schools, great administrators, great teachers, and we have great students. And we will continue to provide the very best opportunities for education to these students. That's our commitment as a board and as a commitment as administrators and teachers, that we're going to do that. And we'll continue to do that. And this process, along with these policies, is part of that process. And we take it seriously. We're not going to do things that will try to harm our students in any way. We will not allow information to go unless it's appropriate aggregate information that is contracted, signatures by local district, and the entity that's requesting it.
Would it be
we
fair
won't.
To say, Blake, that as a school district, though, representing the board and the superintendent sitting here, and Vicki Gatmeier, even though you're retiring, wouldn't it be better to have more parents involved in the education of our kids?
We'd love to have. That's parents involved in our schools, at the schools, helping our students learn to read, to do math.
See, I would that is, personally that is, see more parents involved.
That is the key, and we've seen studies on it. We've read books about it. That is the key. Parents involved at the school level, helping our teachers, helping our students read. That is, I say amen to that.
Well, let me just give you a compliment as we close out. I went to the ACE Awards. I thought that was great. And not just because I had a daughter-in-law getting an ACE Award, but I thought it was marvelous to have a place that the patrons of the district can go and see some of the things that are happening and some of those teachers who are spending so much time, their own personal time, in trying to accomplish the goals that they have for their class and for their students. I thought it was marvelous. I really did. In fact, you and I had a little short conversation about that. And I thought it was great. The sad part is, when I talk about getting more parents involved, we should have filled that auditorium right to the tippy point, and we didn't. Now the question that you ought to ask as a representative of the people, Blake, is why didn't we? What can we do to make sure that happens?
Sure, we'll ask that question.
And I thank you very much for coming in. Okay. And appreciate you coming in. And I really would love to have you back periodically, any, all of you, one of you, two of you, three of you, whatever, and give us reports on what's going on. It's far better. And I appreciate your willingness to take a look at putting the policies out that we can get more information out to people, because we all know good information provided to as many people as you can is very helpful in all discussions and decisions making. And I thank you for putting the 30-day notice out on this thing. So even if it's only nine people, people have given a response, and I know you're going to consider what to do about it. And my recommendation is just to say, hey, we're only going to give out aggregate information unless we're required by somebody to do others. And that makes a nice FERPA policy. Then you say we're abiding by the policy that you have. And when you look at that rule that they passed, I sent you some quotes that I found in a very brief research of why they're doing it. And I'm saying, I don't need to have, personally, I don't have any students in school, but I don't think we ought to give private information off to the federal government so they can track individually little Johnny of how he did K through 12 so I can prove that their system worked. I think it should and can be done through aggregate information, my opinion. Thank you very much for coming in. And to the listeners, we'll be back. Somebody will be back on Monday, and we'll continue this stuff. Thank you.
You've been listening to Impact, coming to you Monday through Thursday at 9 a.m. right here on KTMP 1340.